you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, October 23rd, 2019. Joining us in the studio, besides our Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday typical co-host, Marianne Simpkins. Ooh, she's waving at y'all. Yeah, what was that? The X's and the O's, Laughing or something, where they played. Oh. Was that Laughing, where they're all in their little boxes?
Hollywood Squares.
Yeah, Hollywood Squares.
Yeah, that's good. Our guest.
I think about a third of our listeners might remember that show. Yeah. Anyways, our special guest, Rob, the copy editor-in-chief.
Rob Seidenberg.
Yes, thank you for joining us, Rob. On this Wednesday, this is the Prime Life Times in Review. Typically, we read a story or two and reference this great paper that's located in over 300 area locations and ever-growing, being picked up by many more people and read and appreciated. And so this is a big part of the team right here.
Yeah.
Our editor-in-chief, our copy editor, and we have a fantastic sales team, and then others, obviously Karen Harrison and Ruth Esri, and others that proofread, and then
not
the distribution team.
Not to mention our wonderful contributors who make all this content possible.
Yeah.
Who write the stories, the articles.
Yeah.
Pretty
thanks,
nice.
Everybody.
Yeah, if you're tuned in, thank you so much. And Rob, you've had the privilege of submitting a variety of articles, from rural memories to some front page stories to some other interviews that you've done to the Wordsmith Workshop, I think.
Yeah,
where we
yeah.
talk about different words to, whatever comes to your mind at any given moment you might submit. So.
Yeah, but I got to get it past Marianne, because I'm not really the copy editor-in-chief. I'm the editor-not-in-chief.
Yeah, that's right.
She is the editor-in-chief. So
editor-in-chief and editor-in-charge.
There it is, yeah. So I've got to pass her high standards.
Well, you often do.
Some of my articles have not made it in.
You exceed our standards, and we just have to cut it back so people can read it and understand it. And it fits in a 700-word story.
There you go.
That's
there you go.
Very well said, Mark.
Yeah. A few of your, 2,000-word submissions were just a little over the top.
But yeah, they
got to
be.
A couple of them made them in the paper, too.
They got to be. Most of them have to be cut into three articles.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Well, if you were tuned in yesterday, you had the blessing to learn a little more about Randy and Debbie Graham and Curtis Orchard and the Flying Monkey Cafe, and you might have even been a winner of those $25 gift coupons to the Flying Monkey Cafe. Holly, David, Esther, and I went there on, last Saturday.
Did you?
It was hopping.
Oh, yeah.
It was jammed. And I was thinking, gosh, they have so much parking here. It's kind of a waste. Mm-hmm. Well, on Saturday, the parking was packed, and then all the way down, you almost had to walk about a football field away to get in. But
I've been there in the spring and the fall when there are a dozen school buses there with kindergartners, first graders, second graders, third graders, and they just pack the place. Yeah. It's astonishing.
I was impressed. But the Flying Monkey Cafe, man, there was a huge line, and I thought, but they zip you through it. I mean, it's you fill out your little order. Yeah, I want the El Gratin potatoes. Oh, yeah, I want this. And boom, next thing you know, there's your tray. You go to your table.
You are so making me want a chili dog, and it's way too early in the morning for
I need some of those au gratin potatoes. They're cheesy, and those were good. Yeah,
I could live on chili dogs every day for lunch.
So that was a blessed testimony. It shared some of their faith journey, their life story, and we just appreciate Randy and Debbie so much. And obviously, Paul Curtis, who started Curtis Orchard some years ago, and we featured that story, week ago Wednesday. Week ago today.
Delicious Destinations,
Was great. And then on Monday, we had wonderful Terry Lipscomb in, and she's with Mercy's Refuge in the Champaign Pregnancy Resource Center, and they're having their big concert. It's a fun concert to attend, and then the proceeds will benefit Mercy's Refuge and Champaign Pregnancy Resource Center, and that's happening a week from this Friday on Friday night, November 1st. But wait, there's more.
Did you just say November?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But let's jump back into October, because October 28th, a week from last Monday, so this coming Monday, anytime between noon and 10 p.m.
Yep.
In fact, the singing men, when we're done singing next Monday night, we sing from 7 to 9. I'm going to tell all the guys, or I already reminded them.
When we're done with rehearsal,
we're going to Custard Cup, so bring some cash or your credit cards, because 20% of all purchases, so now's a great time to stock up on ice cream for the holidays.
And you can. They'll sell it in big containers
for
Christmas.
But 20% will be donated back to the station, so a fun way to get the listeners to all come out. Everyone has permission to get ice cream that day, or they have pies and cakes and malts and shakes and a whole assortment of snowstorms. They're kind of like blizzards if you go to Dairy Queen.
Like I said the other day, if you can't eat ice cream, you're diabetic, or you can't have sugar or whatever, buy it for somebody else.
Well, until a couple years ago, in the lobby inside, they had these little brass plates in frames of all the employees of the month through the years. And my sister-in-law, Betty, who now lives near Atlanta, Georgia, got employee of the month twice while she was there as summer employee. So we were always proud of that. But now you can see them hanging up way back in the kitchen area.
They have awards all around, including Best of the Big Ten dessert. Yeah. And speaking of best, Illinois.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we didn't get to do any shout-outs on Monday or Tuesday. I wrote a note to a friend, and I said, miracles still do happen.
Brian Eichelberger, way out in Arizona, wrote in, and he's like, a miracle has occurred in Illinois.
The Illini fans were probably very pleased this whole weekend reveling in that, and all the fans running onto the field. I was watching the highlights. I didn't see any of the game, but go on Google, you say Illinois, Wisconsin highlights.
Oh, yeah.
And then you had like 13 minutes of the clips of the game, so that was kind of fun to watch.
But, it was.
Bears couldn't pull it off. The Bears got trounced, and the Saints are a tough team this year.
Illinois took down number 6. Let's just focus on that.
So talking about taking down people, you take down a lot of good words.
You're very kind.
And you utilize them into good stories.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm really reaching. So middle of the week, show a little grace, right?
There you go.
Didn't we pray that before the program?
We did.
God's
we must
grace.
Have forgot. We did pray that.
Okay, Rob, take it away. Where are we?
Rural Memories by Rob Siedenberg.
Well, on page B1.
Right there.
If you're not a farmer, you can be one, obviously.
With
certain adjustments. This article is called The Sound and the Fury. Farmers keep close tabs on the weather. Mother was in her 90s when my youngest sister gave her a wireless weather station with anemometer. You know what that is, right? Keeps track of the wind speed.
Don't ask me that on air. No, I don't.
Self-recording rain gauge, recording thermometer, and hydrometer.
These were all given to her on her
90th
birthday.
What kind of kids are these?
Yeah. She lived to be 97. So.
This is great.
So she could look at the record of it on a little unit in the house and later in the retirement home where she went. Mother dutifully reported by email each day's weather to her dispersed children. My folks would have appreciated that weather station in their farming years. As a boy, I was foolishly unafraid of cold, heat, rain, wind, thunder, and lightning. Dad entertained us by counting off the seconds between a lightning flash and the ensuing crack of thunder. He explained that for our purposes, the speed of light was practically instant, the speed of sound only a laggardly 767 miles per hour. Because sound travels a mile in about 4.7 seconds,
Well, I didn't know we were going to get all this math and calculations.
There'll be a test at the end of the broadcast. Counting off the seconds told us how far off a lightning strike was and also how far away the storm was. Our system was imprecise. We permitted 5 seconds for sound to travel a mile.
My.
During nighttime, you can just count it off that way, right? During nighttime thunderstorms, we thrilled to the astonishing electrical show, our little faces peering out our west bedroom window at the intermittently lighted scene, to discover whether the creek and the nearby pasture was out of its banks. We had fenced off a flat area, maybe the only one on the farm, for our truck patch, as we call that lower garden. Just beyond was pasture. There stood our wiener tree, named after the one in the Raggedy Ann books. Don't confuse this with the Wiener Index of Trees, which computes the sum of distances between all unordered pairs of vertices in a molecular graph.
I was almost ready to confuse that.
Yeah, that made it, it's all clear now.
This article clearly has come out just in time, right?
Vertices in a vertices, molecular graph. Well, okay, let's
yeah, it's a plural of vertex, obviously. That index dates to 1947 and is thus 2 years younger than I am. Our Wiener tree was an ancient black oak, dead long before our arrival in the valley. So said elderly friend and neighbor Fred, who grew up on that farm. Instead of rotting, the tree somehow got harder and harder. It would stand for many decades.
Aren't people like that sometimes?
Like
yeah, we can get very spiritual on this. Yeah, like harder and harder.
One sad day, years later, Dad phoned to tell me the tree had fallen at last. Thereafter, a friend and woodcarver cut out a section of the trunk, the hardest wood he'd ever worked, chiseled a face into it, and set it up in my parents' front yard. But I digress. We learned so much of nature there on the farm, maybe because we spent most hours outdoors or because we lived more naturally, more healthfully, and more environmentally soundly than today. I wouldn't do this now, but I used to show kids how mosquitoes functioned when they drew blood.
Wow, weren't you fun to know?
Dad and Grandpa had demonstrated that before me.
So a family trait passed on through the generations. You just hold out your arm and you'd watch
exactly.
The mosquitoes land.
There wasn't much to do.
Now,
out
would
there.
You ever like squeeze your arm so the mosquito would get
listen.
Even more blood?
He's telling
you.
Oh,
yeah, sure. You can do that.
Okay.
I'd bare a bicep and let a mosquito land and draw blood, swelling up to an incredible size. We knew, for instance, that a mosquito injects some anesthetic before doing the final drilling. As
drilling?
Now this anesthetic, did you get like a buzz off of it or something?
If you faint easily,
if one lets a mosquito complete the withdrawal, that spot is less likely to become infected or to itch than if the mosquito is squished during the blood donation.
That's very interesting.
I still donate blood, just not to mosquitoes if I can help it. I remember screaming winds high aloft that moved barely a tree limb in our little valley, but that caused mayhem in our upland timber. Massive snowfalls presaged bitterly cold, cloudless winter nights. Oh, the happiness of being first to tread on new-fallen snow.
Mm.
Were winters harsher then? Grandma Cave said ours were nothing compared to those she had known growing up.
Of course she did.
When she had to climb the hill on the way to school
both ways uphill.
I recall the majesty of thunderheads towering up and up to altitudes of 20,000 feet and beyond. Exquisite sunsets viewed from pasture hill as the cows reluctantly wended their way home for evening milking. Now, of course, you know now we pasteurize the milk and homogenize it, but then we just put the cows out to pasture and brought them home again, so there was no real pasteurization or homogenization, right? April rains sweeping in sheets across our valley, lasting many hours or even days, hot, dry days of oats and hay harvest, when the mercury soared to above 114 degrees Fahrenheit, something modern weathermen say never happened. I was there. We had an annually calibrated thermometer, and we even reported monthly rainfall totals to our local extension office. There was no exaggeration, believe me. We waded through nearly knee-deep mud and flowing water on our township road, totally impassable.
Now, wait,
vehicles.
Exaggeration. Knee-deep mud on the roads?
I got stuck there as a first grader and was stuck in the middle of the road for hours until I heard Dad shut off the tractor. He was running the hammer mill grinding feed for milking. The second he shut it off, I started yelling a little over a quarter mile away, but through hills and timber. But he heard me, came on the tractor and pulled me out. No, it was a cut. And so the water ran down the road like a river. It was terrible.
Well, that happened to Esther on Saturday. We were in the Sangamon River, and we were working.
You were in the Sangamon River?
Yeah, the Sangamon River splits half of our acreage, 4 acres on each side.
So you were down in the river, right?
Yeah, so we had waders. David and I had waders up to our upper chest.
Sure. Right, yeah.
And we were getting a boat and a kayak out that was underneath my floating dock, a whole involved thing. But Esther was walking along the shoreline and then got into a muck rocky area. There's like this little creek that goes into the Sangamon River.
It just holds you.
And she was up to her dress area. She had a dress on, but she had Holly's boots. So the boots were almost up to her kneecaps.
Did she get stuck?
Yes, totally stuck, so much so that she couldn't move or anything. And so David and I had to get over there, and we were starting to get stuck, so we had to put limbs down so we could stand on the limbs to, you know, pivot. And then we had a
rescue
couple.
Esther,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so we were saying it was kind of like quicksand.
But remember, a six-year-old knees are not as high as adult's knees.
Right,
so. It was totally impassable to vehicles except for tractors with tire chains or our little Willis Jeep, which even with chains on all four tires could get bogged down with full milk cans on board. Though severe weather events threatened economic disaster, I finally remember violent rainstorms that interrupted our haymaking. We covered all the baled hay on the wagon or skid, a hay hauling conveyance pulled behind a tractor, and which looked something like a large wooden gate on its side with flat plank runners. We rushed to get baled hay indoors. We strove against the elements. One advantage of a hay skid, some called it a drag, was that its surface was only 4 inches off the ground, so boys didn't have to hoist bales too high to load them. Hmm. Another advantage on hills was that the skid wouldn't run off downhill with a tractor, the heavy load of hay, and the kid who was driving. That could and did happen with wheeled hay racks. Dad valued his sons.
Oh, jeez.
I'm glad.
Mowed hay, or worse, windrowed hay, started losing feed value the moment the rain started, and hay was our biggest crop. Dairy cows would thrive and produce well on a diet of alfalfa hay, a near-miracle crop that originated in South Central Asia and was first cultivated in ancient Persia, according to Pliny the Elder. This legume produces leaves high in protein and in the amino acid cannabinine, an immune system stimulant.
Now, this Pliny the Elder, did you do the research on this guy?
Well, he knows these things.
Yeah, I've researched alfalfa many times. In fact, it has a purple blossom, but the original alfalfa, somewhere around Iran, had a yellow blossom.
Hmm.
I've never seen it. I don't know if it still exists. But
you're talking to Rob. Of course he has researched alfalfa many times.
Pliny the Elder. Has anyone else ever heard of this guy?
I have.
Really? Yeah,
he was
a Roman scholar.
Famous.
Right. Throughout the world, alfalfa has also become an important part of the human diet. You can order alfalfa milkshakes in Latin America and eat alfalfa sprouts in Japan.
Oh, my.
Once the springtime soil was plowed, dissed, and harrowed, we knew a good thunderstorm could wash tons of available nitrogen into the open ground. The process is nitrogen fixation. A bolt of lightning, a billion volts and upwards of 200,000 amperes, breaks the powerful bond of atmospheric nitrogen atoms in two, split off nitrogen atoms in, immediately bond to oxygen atoms, forming nitrous oxide, N2O, which enters the soil and a form plants can use.
I have a new line. Hey, it wasn't my fault. It was the nitrogen fixation that I had.
When are you going to say that?
I just did.
Context?
That might be the only time I can use it.
Next time you're out on the farm, right?
Well, we'll forgive you.
It's all about a nitrogen fixation that I was having. I'm not responsible for what I say.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Of course, most available nitrogen in soil is fixed by microorganisms that live under the surface, doing a crucial job we can't observe. And the aforementioned alfalfa is no slouch at fixing nitrogen in the soil either.
Oh, gosh.
Then there is...
Okay, stay with us. We're, you know, farmers are finding this fascinating.
Oh, yeah, they are. I know. It's wonderful.
Yeah, but they already know all this.
Yeah.
Then there is thunder snow, which most of us have experienced. Again, lightning splits apart two closely bonded nitrogen atoms, which bond on oxygen atoms and fall with the snow. In bygone days, farmers rushed out with a team of horses or mules and a walking plow to turn over the precious nitrogen-laden snow, incorporating the valuable fertilizer into the soil. We don't see that practice now. Our heavy farm machinery doesn't function well in a combination of soft soil and deep snow. Next time you see lightning illuminate the night sky, enjoy the sound and fury, but think of the potent lightning as a precious gift, releasing life-giving nitrogen, feeding the soil to feed the crops, to feed the people of our earth.
Hmm. And we have the best farmers throughout the world right here in Illinois and Indiana farming
some of the best soil.
Wow. I may never look at snow the same.
So some of these areas where they have lots of lightning or lightning showers and rain might have high levels of nitrogen in their soil?
The soil would probably have to be relatively open, meaning it couldn't be covered.
Hey, everyone, sorry about that. Rob did not turn off his phone before this program.
Yeah, I'll call my son back after the broadcast.
Yes.
Well, I want to read one little, like, three sentence out of this again. I loved this. I loved this, Rob. This reminded me of my childhood. It will remind a lot of people. It's beautiful. During nighttime thunderstorms, we thrilled to the astounding electrical show, our little faces peering out our west bedroom window at the intermittently lighted scene to discover whether the creek in the nearby pasture was out of its banks. I loved it. I could just see you.
Oh, that was pretty exciting. Five little Sedenbergs peering out of the storm.
Like a five little peppers.
Yeah, we weren't afraid of anything that nature could throw at us. Why we didn't all get struck by lightning, blown away by a tornado, freeze to death, cook to death, I don't know.
I can see all your little faces looking, oh, where's the water?
Yeah, these little eyes looking, somebody look from the outside looking in, seeing these little eyes.
Yeah. I love the lightning flash.
Wow.
Great article and very, very informative.
And this is in the current edition, the October edition of the Prime Life Times. In fact, a week from today, we'll be getting the November edition out and about. So we're finalizing proofreading, some new advertisers, and, you know, that one coupon for El Toro in Danville. That's a great one. So pick up your October edition and then head to El Toro Mexican Restaurant in Danville, and you'll get a great deal on some food items and so many dollars off on your purchase. So.
I actually had a nice lunch there a few months back with Betty Schmid, our Be Inspired recipe writer.
Yeah, an excellent writer, and she's
a great person.
Well, she has a presentation that's just delightful when she presents. She doesn't just write a recipe and say, here it is. No, she gives you the whole context of the thing.
She does.
It's delightful.
Good storyteller and sharer.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, a lot going on, a lot to listen to all day long. Hopefully God-honoring program that'll help you on your faith journey, help you grow and model Christ to a hurting world. That's what we're to be about today and every day. And, yeah, ice cream permission for all of you this coming Monday, the 28th, to stop by Jarlene's Custard Cup in Champaign. I think there was some question we had to call in. Is it actually ice cream or custard? But we found out it's kind of like both. They consider it ice cream. It's custard cup.
Frozen. It's not custard dessert.
I don't think I told you this, Rob. Karen got a call from a very cool trucker going through, and he knew about Jarlene's. He wanted to know that answer.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He said, are you sure it's ice cream? Because I'm pretty sure it's not ice cream. It's custard. But custard in the sense of what I think of custard is more like pudding. And
it's a custard.
But they have their special secret blend.
Well, there are several ways to make ice cream, and one of them is, even homemade ice cream, you make custard first. And then you turn that into ice cream.
So see, we should have gone to Rob first and had this all explained.
No.
Just do it. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Rob Sedenberg with the Ministry of Great News Radio and the Prime Life Times. God bless you, and have a great day and night.